Turn to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter number 4 this morning. Well, it's good to be home.
Amen.
Somebody asked me the other day how come I've stayed married so long. I said, I stay gone all the time. Amen. Yeah, preacher said he believed that. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter number 4 this morning. I want to begin reading in verse number 17. It said, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. I want to preach on this subject this morning with the help of the Lord on Let's Go Fishing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, I'd be much obliged if you'd help me this morning. I pray, God, you'd speak to your people, and we'll give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I like to fish. I've got two ponds right behind my house. I don't get to go much anymore, but I like it when I get the opportunity. But I'm glad those of us who are saved, if we're fishing for men, we always have the opportunity.
That's right.
But there's some things that need to be present if you're going to catch fish. First of all, you need to be acquainted with the water. Amen. Now, the ponds behind my house I'm very familiar with. I know the best places to fish. I know what kind of fish is in there. And I'm glad that, you know, I can go place and place here and place there, and I can tell you where to fish. And if we're going to catch men, we need to be acquainted with the water. Here's what he said in John 4:14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Amen. So when we're depending on where we're at, if you're in the river, you're in the ocean, you're in the pond, and it's the same way with us when we go fishing after men. No matter where we are at, we ought to be familiar with the water inside of us. Amen. Yes, man. And if we got that well living inside of us, I tell you, I believe a lot of reason that people never try to win anybody to God is because they're not acquainted with the water. Amen.
That's right.
If you've got the water living inside of you, you can't help but want others to have a drink of the water too. Amen. Well, not only do you need to be acquainted with the water, but you need to allure the fish. Here's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 22. To the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I know a missionary went out west. He wasn't having much success. So what he decided he would do is he would put in some old clothes and old shoes in the car. And as he was out visiting, whatever they was doing, he did. If they were farming, he drove the tractor. If they was getting in cattle, he got in cattle. Whatever they were doing, he helped do what they were doing. If they were working on the house, he worked on the house. And as a result of that, the people got confidence in him. Amen.
That's right.
And that's what we need to do. We need to become all things to all men that we might win some. I'll talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. If you want to talk about building, I know something about that. If you want to talk about fishing, I know something about that. But if you really want to get me excited, talk to me about the Lord. Amen. And if we carry on a conversation very long, we're going to have a conversation about the Lord. Where I was at a couple of weeks ago, I went to eat before church that night. And the fellow sitting across from me, he was talking kind of loud. And, of course, I was listening to what they were saying. And so when they got up to leave, I asked him, I said, if you don't mind me asking, I said, what band are you with? He said, I am the last living member of the band, Leonard Skinner. I am the last living member of the band Leonard Skinner. So I got my picture took with him, and I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost, but I'm still going to listen to a bar or two, Sweet Home Alabama. Amen. But anyway, he was telling me, you know, and I had overheard part of the conversation, and he was telling me about how all the elders had died and different things that happened, and he said the guy that wrote our songs died in a plane crash. I said, well, was he ready to go is the question. So he opened up the door of opportunity, and I got to witness to him about the Lord. Because I posted that, somebody on Facebook said, what's the big deal? Are you proud of that? They were saying, you know, I guess they were implying because that I was a Christian, I shouldn't have had my picture took with him. So I replied back, anytime you get an opportunity to witness is a good thing. Amen. They that are whole have no need of physician, but they that are sick, amen. So, I want to be good at fish. You know, my papa, he could catch fish when nobody else was catching fish. Amen. And I want to be that kind of person. I want to be able to catch fish when nobody else is catching fish. Amen. Now, how you do that is you practice at it. Amen. Yep. When I was pastoring, somebody told me, well, preacher, I'm afraid to witness. I said, I'm afraid I mess it up. I said, well, what are you going to do? Send them to hell number two. They're going to hell already. Right. Amen. Right. It's hard to mess up witnessing. Amen. So we just need to go ahead and try everything that we can to allure the fish. Amen. You know, and that means we use different kinds of baits. Now, it's kind of like chicken liver. The only thing chicken liver is good for is catching catfish. Amen. If you eat liver, there's something wrong with you. Amen. But if you're bass fishing, you use different kinds of artificial bait. But let me say this about fishing. The closest thing experience that you will ever have to your own salvation is getting the chance to lead somebody else to the Lord. Amen. It's kind of like when you're fishing for bass and that joker comes up out of the water and goes, whoom! And you get excited. I caught a big one the other day, got him all the way up to the bank. He come up out of the water and went, poof, and spit that bait back at me. Now, you're not going to catch them all, but if you're fishing, you're going to catch some. Amen. Well, then I see a third thing if we're going to catch fish this morning. We need to await with patience. James said in James chapter number 1, verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that we're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't like to wait on nothing. Amen. I prayed for patience one time. I have never prayed for patience again, because you get it through trials and tribulations. But if you're going to catch fish, they are not always biting every time you throw the lure in the water. Sometimes you have to throw it out there and wait and wait and wait. Amen. Well, then I see a fourth thing this morning. If you're going to catch fish, you need to be alert to hazards. I can tell you where every stump is. I can tell you where every tree that fell in. I can tell you where the shallows are at. I can tell you where there's boats that went down. If depending on if you're fishing in the river or the lake, you have to be aware of other boats because we got a bunch of idiots that get out there and they'll run over you. Amen. So we need to be alert to hazards. You know, I thought about that as it applies unto us. He said, told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before, that thou by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith hath made shipwreck." If we're not careful and not aware, hey, you can tell when you're getting cold in your heart. Hey, if it's been a while since you've witnessed to somebody, it's probably because you're not where you need to be yourself. Amen. We find ourselves drifting away from the Lord. Amen. We ought to be alert when there are hazards in our life. When the preacher's preaching something and it rubs us the wrong way, most of the time it's our problem. Amen. And we need to let the Lord straighten us out. Amen.
Amen.
Well, then we need to anticipate the bite. Sometimes you throw that bobber out there and you see it go like that and like that, but you don't yank on that thing real hard until it goes completely under. Amen. Right. And sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to give a word here and give a, you know, Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase." Amen. Right. Hey, we don't always get to catch fish. Amen. But we can water and we can plant. And I'm glad sometimes, Brother Noah, that God does let us catch fish. Amen. You might be the one that gets to reap the benefits of somebody else. Amen. I said my papaw would catch fish. You know, if he was fishing a certain spot, when he caught one and he was taking it off the hook, I'd move over there where he was at. But it didn't work that way. He could catch them, but I couldn't. Amen. But that's a principle with us. If you want to know how to catch fish, go with somebody that knows how to catch fish.
That's right.
Amen. Don't take your wife because she can't bait her own hook or take her fish off. You spend all your time baiting her hook and taking her fish off. Amen. So I'm simply saying I want to be good at this matter of fishing. So as I thought about that, I see some principles here about fishing. In verse number 19, he saith unto them, I see the person of Christ. He saith, amen. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what he said here in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. It's a whosoever will may come gospel. Amen. One verse in the Bible can settle all of that bunch of Calvinism garbage right out of the mount. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I told one of them the other day, I said, you believe that Bible? He said, I do. I said, well, do you believe that verse that says hell is enlarging itself? He said, I do. I said, does that mean that God didn't know what size to make it to start with? Amen. Hey, the Bible clearly states that hell was not a place that was prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. And if you go there, it'll be your fault and not God's fault. Amen. So I'm saying that the person of Christ, he is a precious person. Amen.
the fact that he left heaven and came down here to earth and took upon himself the form of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. I'm telling you that he did that for us. Hey, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Nothing else will get you to heaven. It's the blood plus nothing, minus nothing. It's by grace through faith. Old Testament saints were saved by grace through faith looking to the cross. New Testament saints are saved by grace through faith looking back to the cross, but it has always been by grace through faith. He is a precious person. He is a powerful person. Amen. There is nothing that is too hard for God. Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then he is a propitiating person. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became the satisfied. Hey, God demanded that our debt be paid, and Jesus Christ paid that debt for each and every one of us. Well, I see not only the person of Christ, but I see the people of Christ. He said again in verse number 19, he saith unto them, amen, the people of Christ. He was preaching to saved or talking to saved people. I told that same guy, he said, well, what do you believe? What about predestination and election? I said, anytime in the Bible it's talking about predestination and election, it is talking to saved people. Amen. Amen. Right. It's kind of like this. When I go fishing, I'm fishing, Brother John, for anything that bites. Bass, crappie, catfish, brim, I don't care. But once it bites my hook, it's predestined and foreordained what's going to happen to it. I'm going to eat it. I don't catch and release, I catch and eat. Amen. If you're just going to catch and release, you need to get a different hobby. Amen. But he's speaking here to save people. Amen. And then not only was he speaking to saved people, but he was speaking to spiritual people. Here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The carnal mind is enmity with God. So he is speaking to spiritual people. And if you are a spiritual person, you are going to love fishing. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about fishing for men. You're going to, I started praying this prayer many years ago. God, give me opportunity to witness and make me aware when I have opportunity. Brother Sam, it's amazing how many times we let opportunity pass us by simply because, Brother Chris, we are unaware when the opportunity arises. But you start praying that prayer and God will make you aware. Amen. So I'm saying he's speaking to spiritual people. And then he's speaking to separated people. Amen. Amen. If you're going to fish, you need to be separated. Amen.
Yes, that's right.
Here's what he said in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And you say, preacher, what do you mean when you talk about separated? You know, a lot of people think because they've got everything right on the outside that that makes them okay. That's not a fact. Hey, it's talking about What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Amen. What fellowship hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Amen. That is what separation. You know, I preached it wrong, really, for years and years and years. I preach separation from, and I do believe you ought to be separated from the world. But if you ever get separated unto God, separation from the world will take care of itself. Amen. Hey, if we are seeking after Him totally and fully to the best of our ability, separation from the world will come naturally. You know, the Bible said, blessed are ye when men shall separate you from their company. Amen. If you're trying to do something for God, you don't have to worry about separating from that crowd. They're not going to have anything to do with you. Well, then I see the plea of Christ there in verse number 19. He saith unto them, follow me. Now, God told Adam to follow his advice. In the garden, he said, you can eat of every tree you want to, but of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're not to eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Amen. So he told Adam to follow his advice. You know, the devil's a liar. He'll use a little of the truth and mix it with a lie. Amen. And that's what he did to Eve. Amen. And because Eve partook of that fruit and Adam loved Eve, then Adam ate of that fruit. Amen. I had a lady ask me one time, she said, where would you be without women? I said, in the Garden of Eden, fellowshipping with the Lord. I'm joking, all right. But I'm saying this matter of following the Lord's advice. You can get no better advice than what you get in this book. It'll tell you how to raise a family. It'll tell you how to stay married. Amen. It'll tell you how to run a business. Everything that we need in life, this book has the answer to it. Well, he told Adam to follow his advice. He told Moses to follow his law. Yeah. I had a guy say to me, he said, well, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Well, pray tell me what part of the law you can offend. Yeah. Amen. Hey, we've took the Ten Commandments out of school. You know, they're really just 10 good rules to live by. Amen. And we wonder why we've got this bunch of heathen we've got nowadays. Amen. It's because you've thrown God out of everything. But what the law does is it shows us that we are lost. It shows us our need of a Savior. Amen. Hey, that's another big problem I got with that Calvinistic crowd. I believe most of them's lost because you got to get lost before you ever get saved. And they ain't ever been lost. Amen. Hey, thank God for the day that He showed me I was lost. Amen. And that I needed a Savior. Here's what it said in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. So when we follow this book, we'll have good success. And then God tells us to follow His Son in Matthew chapter number 16. In verse number 24, he said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Amen. Well, I see a fourth thing this morning. I see the power of Christ. He said, I will make you. Amen. He's got the power to supply your need as a soul winner. He tells us in Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 18, he said, we don't even have to worry about what we're going to say. He says, He'll give it to us at that moment. Amen.
Right.
Hey, I'm telling you, I have recalled Bible verses that I didn't even remember that I knew. Amen. Because God will give them
That's
to
right.
you.
Yes.
Amen. I'm thought of things. We was outdoor knocking one time. Me and this preacher and a bunch of boys was in there having a party. They said, come on in. We went on in, and pastor was trying to witness to them. And that boy said, yeah, said, we're all going to hell. When we get there, we're going to have a party. Now, I ain't smart enough to think of this myself, but there's a cigarette lighter laying there on the coffee table. I went over and picked it up and turned the flame up about that high. I said, hold your hand over that. He said, no, no. All his buddies, yeah, do it, do it. Teenage boys are stupid. He stuck his hand over that. He yanked it back and went, ow! I said, that's not a drop in the bucket of what hell's going to be like. And you're not going to have no party. You're going to be begging for one drop of water.
That's right.
Now, they didn't, none of them get saved, but I guarantee you, every time they fired a cigarette up, they remembered what I said.
Amen.
Amen. So power to supply your need is a soul winner. Power to strengthen your weakness as a soul winner. God has not given us, it's a fearful thing, or it was for me, it's a fearful thing. I know y'all don't believe this, but by nature, I am an introvert. I have got over that, amen. But soul winning was a fearful thing for me, amen. But God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you can argue with people about politics, surely to God you can give them the gospel. Amen. Well, power to strengthen your weakness as a soul winner. And then power to sweeten your life. You know, the Bible tells in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's that stuff on the inside that's harder to deal with.
Yes,
anger, wrath, bitterness, malice. Amen.
Yep.
But when we get saved, there's a process that starts taking place where God starts working on us. Amen.
Right. Yep.
Hey, and we are not... You know why a lot of people don't want what we've got? Because Christians, we've got that chainsaw disposition. Arr, arr. Huh? Are you one of them people afraid to be around you, afraid you're going to blow up? Amen. We was out visiting, knocked on this lady's door, and she opened the door. She said, I'm sorry I wasn't there, Pastor, but I'm sick. She said, come on in. Pastor went in and sat down. I stood right by the door. She said, you can have a seat. I said, that's all right. I don't want one. I don't want what you've got. Amen. Hey, and it ought not be that way with us. People ought to observe our life, and they ought to want what we have.
Amen.
Amen. Lastly, I see the purpose of Christ. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The Bible tells us that he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And if salvation was all there was to it, when we got saved, he would take us out of here. But it don't matter what you do for a living. It don't matter if you work at Komatsu. It don't matter if you're a carpenter. You don't matter if you're an electrician, a heat and air guy, an accountant. That is not what your job is down here. Your job is to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody that is saved is to be a fisher of men. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the preaching of the Word of God this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to have your will and your way now. In Jesus' name, amen.